Y'all don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and just pray. Pray for our time this evening. Father, we just give you thanks. God, we thank you for Jesus. God, we thank you that all we have is Christ. God, Father, this world is going to throw everything at us, but in the end, it doesn't matter. God, and we can hold to the promise that all we have is Christ, and all we need is Christ. God, I thank you for these students. God, I just pray for your time over this evening. God, I pray that you would anoint them to listen, you would anoint me to speak, and that tonight, God, you would just convey your message to your people. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. What if I told you that you could gain the whole world? You could have it all. You could have any car you wanted. Palmer, if you could pick a car, what car would you want? What do you drive? What? A Chevy Malibu. Absolutely. All right, 09 Chevy Malibu. That's what he's wanting. You could have any car. You could have any house you wanted. You could have a mansion by the lake. You know, you could, ladies, you could have any amount of clothing you wanted, any dresses in the world, you could have them all. You could have all the amount of Steve Madden shoes in the world. I say that because Bethany loves Steve Madden shoes. What if I told you that you could have the world? You could have it all. Not only just material things, but you could have an empire. That you could have a kingdom and you could rule that kingdom. Think about that. If you could have anything in the world, if you could just have this, or if you could just have that, do you think it would make you happy? Do you think that you would finally be happy if you could just obtain that one thing? You see, 3 weeks ago, we started this series, Empty, and we set out just to answer that question. Is there anything in this world that will satisfy us? Is there anything in this world that will make us happy? And you see, we're following the life of Solomon, a man that, unlike us, he had everything. He had the money. He had the power. He had the wealth. He had endless amounts of resources, where we only dream of having to be able to get this or that. He could get anything he wanted. And what's so interesting, as you open up the book of Ecclesiastes, you read, he says, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Vanity, a word meaning vapor, meaning empty, meaning meaningless. He's sitting there declaring, listen, I have the world. I have the empire. I have the kingdom. I have the wealth, the power, the fame. I have it all. Vanity of vanities. It is pointless. It's left me empty. I'm not satisfied. And you see, as I read through the book of Ecclesiastes, I want to do two things with Solomon. One, I want to give him a really big hug, because every time you read it, he just sounds really grumpy. He sounds like that grumpy old man at Halloween that screams at all the kids, just vanity, like just screaming at you, right? Like, I just picture him on his front porch yelling at kids, you know, saying, this is, you know, don't worry about it. It's not going to make you happy. That's Solomon. I just want to give him a big old hug. Say, hey, man, it's going to be okay. You know, go to chapter 12. You wrote, you know, fear God, obey his commandments. You remember that, so. And then secondly, I want to just grab him, I want to shake him. Say, you keep trying everything, yet it's not working. You know, 2 weeks ago, we looked at wisdom. He pursued wisdom to the fullest. The wisest man to ever live, he was empty. Last week, we looked at he indulged himself in anything he saw. Possessions, pleasures, passions, he had it all. He was empty. And you would think that he would learn, hey, it's not working. But he continues on. And so tonight, that is what we are going to go further into, what I would consider this giant experiment that Solomon is taking us on. This experiment to see, is there anything that is satisfying in this world? And so tonight, we're going to be looking at this concept of work. And we're going to be seeing, you know, we're a culture that really prizes work and hard work. And we're going to see, does hard work really pay off? Does it really matter in the end? I remember when I was little, And you guys probably get this question a lot as well. Hey, Nick, what do you want to be when you grow up? Anybody get that question? Anybody get annoyed with that question? Anybody actually know the answer to that question? Liars. Kaden, you don't know the answer to that question. What do you want to be? What do you want to be? Okay, McDonald's food worker. Great, great. Awesome. But I remember when I was little, I would get asked this question all the time. And I remember, you know, I would say, well, I want to be an astronaut. Because obviously I was clearly the most perfect person for that. Because I would set up a fort in my room every night. I had the command station in my bedroom. I was running everything. So obviously I was the most qualified person to work at NASA. And then I remember the next week it'd be a football player. Or it'd be a lawyer. I had no reason why. I just thought, hey, I would be a lawyer. And I actually remember it was, I guess it was like over 3 to 5 years. Every time I would get asked that question, I would tell people I wanted to be a cardiovascular surgeon. Now, I had no idea what a cardiovascular surgeon was. I couldn't even spell it, but I thought it sounded cool, and I knew they made a lot of money. So I was like, I want to be a cardiovascular surgeon. That's what I want to do with my life. But as I thought about this, you know, back then I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. No idea. Changed every week. But I did know two things. I knew that I wanted to make a lot of money, and I wanted to have a lot of stuff. That's what I wanted to do. Make a lot of money and have a lot of stuff. Sounds pretty good, right? You see, this culture, it tells us we need to pursue the American dream. Pursue that dream of you work hard, you be successful, you get a lot of toys, and you'll be happy. Pursue that dream. And so that's what I set out to do. So what did I do? I work, and I work, and I work. And you see that in our culture. People work, and they work, and they work. You work in elementary school to get into middle school. You work in middle school to get to high school, right? Once you're in high school, you work really hard, get a good GPA, work hard on all your applications so you can get into college. Once you get into college, you work super hard for that 4, 5, 8 years, whatever, however long you're in college. You work really hard to get a good GPA and to get that degree, right? Because you want to get the best job you can get. And then you get that job, and you work super hard in that job so you can move up that ladder. So you can move up the ladder, make more money, so you can have more stuff. Because the more money you have, the more things you can buy, the more you can live out this American dream. And that's what our culture is about. We're about work. We work, we work, we work to build our kingdom, to get as much stuff as we can possibly have so that we can build our kingdom. Now, I did the math this week. If you get a job as soon as you graduate from college, and let's say you're 22 years old. So as soon as you walk out of college at 22, you land your dream job, okay? And you walk into there, and you work a job that's a normal 40-hour-a-week job, okay? So you're going to work there 40 hours a week. And let's say you work there for 40 years of your life. So you retire at 62. So for 40 years at 40 hours a week, you will have worked a total of 2,030 hours a year. Doesn't sound too bad, right? 2,030 hours, it's manageable. Over the course of 40 years, you'll have worked 83,200 hours of your life. Now, let me put it a different way, because that's kind of hard to grasp. 83,200 hours. Broken down, you will have worked 9.5 years of your life. Think about that. Let's say I get a job at Pella. I walk into Pella the first day, coming in for the job, and I can't leave those doors again for 9.5 years. I can't walk back out of there for 9.5 years. Almost 10 years of my life is going to be spent at work. Why do we do that? Why? Why do we spend so much time pursuing this dream? Why do we spend so much time working so hard? Does it really matter? Does it really matter in the end how many toys you have? Does it really matter in the end what car you drove? Does it really matter in the end how big a house you had? You're going to spend 10 years of your life away from your family, your friends, doing things you love. Does it really matter? So if you would, grab your Bibles. I want us to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And somebody doesn't mind, could they go grab me something to drink, like a glass of water? That'll be fine. Just wanted to sip on something really quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we're going to be in verses 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 18. That was literally the first drink of Coke I had in like 3 years. So, congratulations. Well, it's mostly spit. Awesome. And once you get there, will you go ahead and stand out of reverence for the Word of God? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 18. And we're going to see, does hard work really pay off? We're going to read verses 18 through 23. He says, I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool, yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in a night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. Let's pray. Father, I just give you thanks right now. God, I just ask for your blessing over this time. God, I just pray that you would put away distractions, that you would speak to us through your word. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember last week, Corey dove into how Solomon, he just indulged himself. Remember, he had passions, he had pleasures, he had possessions. If you remember, he built himself gardens, he had pools, he had monuments, he had treasures, he had everything. And we find ourselves in this passage, and I kind of think that what's going on is he's sitting on his front porch, you know, maybe drinking his coffee, and looking out at this vast empire that he has just created. Thank you. It's my wife, if you're wondering. So, he's sitting here on his front porch, drinking his coffee, looking out, and he's just looking at everything he has, everything that he owns. And he's looking at this kingdom that he has worked so hard to build. And you would think in this moment, he would just look out and feel a sense of satisfaction, of joy, of, man, look at all I've done. Look at everything I have worked so hard for. But that's not what we see, right? What does he see? He says, I hated all of my toil. He's not happy about it. No, he says, I hate it. I hate everything I've worked for. Why? Because I'm going to have to leave it to the man that comes after me. You see, he had it all. And he realizes in this moment, everything that he has worked his entire life for is going to be given to the next person that comes after him. And he goes on to say, and I love this, I don't know if they're going to be wise or a fool. He doesn't know how they're going to take care of the possessions that he has treasured for so long. He doesn't know if they're going to destroy him or if they're going to take care of him. But all he does know is that his kingdom that he's looking at right now is not eternal. It's not going to last. And ultimately, he sees that there is no meaning in everything that he has just worked his entire life to gain, because he is going to have to leave it to someone else. Does that sound fair to anyone? He works his whole life. He builds this great kingdom. And then he's going to have to leave it to the man that comes after him. Does that sound fair? No, it's not. But that's life. That's what happens. You're going to work. And you're going to die. And you're going to leave everything to the person that comes after your kids or your grandkids or their grandkids. There's a quote I read this week. And it says, he who dies with the most toys still dies. He who dies with the most toys still dies. Think about it. You could have an 09 Chevy Malibu, just an awesome, awesome ride, right? You could have a huge house. You could have tons of money in the bank. You know, you could have maybe your private island or a private jet. You could have endless amounts of toys. But in the end, it's not going to matter. Why? because you're still going to die. None of those toys are going to keep you from death. None of those toys are ultimately going to satisfy. None of those toys are going to be eternal. He who dies with the most toys still dies. Everybody have an iPhone in here? Most people have an iPhone. If you have an iPhone, hold it up. Hold it up in the air. All right. Leaders, you can take them up. No. Holding up the iPhone. Everyone have it. What company created the iPhone? Apple, right? Does anybody know how much Apple is worth? You're really far off, Abby. I looked it up this week, and I was shocked. I was shocked. Apple is worth $600 billion. They just passed ExxonMobil as the number one leading company in the United States. $600 billion. Now, does anybody know who founded Apple? Who founded the company Apple? Steve Jobs, right? Steve Jobs, yes. So Steve Jobs, this brilliant man, this innovative man, created this company out of nothing. He built this $600 billion kingdom, this empire, right? Does anybody know how much Steve Jobs is worth? He's dead, right? Wait a second. So wait. He built this giant kingdom, $600 billion. Before his death, he was worth $10.2 billion. So this man spends his entire life building a kingdom, building this empire for himself. He's worth $10.2 billion. His company is worth $600 billion. But the sad truth is, he's dead. He's dead, and he can't take any of that with him. In fact, everything that he's worked so hard to obtain, everything that he spent his entire life on, was given to the next guy that came after him. Let's be honest, probably did not spend the time, the effort, work near as hard as Steve Jobs did on building this company. But that's the truth. That's reality. That's what happens. We are going to spend our lives working and working and working to obtain a lot of stuff so that we can die and pass it on to the next person. And you see, Solomon saw this. Solomon saw this early, and he said, man, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? This is really dumb. I've worked super hard to build all this stuff, and my prized possessions are going to be sold in a yard sale. You know, my grandkids are going to open up a booth at Peddler's Mall, and they're going to sell my junk for 50 cents. And that's what he's thinking. This is really dumb. Why have I just spent my entire life working for this kingdom? I'm going to have to give it to someone else. Now, I want to make myself clear. I'm not saying don't work, okay? A lot of you guys are here thinking, man, I'm going to go home and tell mom. I'm never getting a job. It's pointless. I'm just going to have all this stuff and I'm going to die and have to give it away anyways. I'm just going to sit on the couch, play Xbox. That's not what I'm saying. So don't go home and tell your mom you're not supposed to work. No, God instituted work in the garden. We are supposed to work. But what I'm saying is that when you begin to try and find your ultimate meaning, your ultimate satisfaction in work and in the possessions that you have, you're going to end up like Solomon saying, vanity of vanities, this is all pointless. This is all meaningless. I'm left empty. You know, we see this in our culture all the time. People with tons of money who are not happy. Think about the celebrities in our culture. Celebrities are committing suicide all of the time. And yet we look at these people and we envy them, right? They have a lot of money. They have cool cars, cool houses. They have it all. But they're committing suicide. Why? Because they're not happy. One recently that I read about was a guy named Lee Thompson Young. Does anybody know who that is? Yeah, okay. Apparently, I thought he was a lot cooler than he was. Because I went in like to Bethany 2 weeks ago. I was like, Lee Thompson Young, you know, he killed himself this week. And she's like, who's that? Well, he was the famous Jet Jackson on Disney Channel. Anyways, he committed suicide a couple weeks ago. This man that had this unbelievable career, in my opinion. This guy that had a lot of money, a lot of fame, a lot of success. His family found him dead. He had put a gun on himself, and he ended his life. And his family said, "We don't know why, but we do know that he was very depressed." Another one, Heath Ledger, a few years back. He played the Joker in Batman. This guy had an amazing acting career. I mean, he was in a lot of great movies. And what do we see? He overdosed on pills. He wasn't happy. Another one, Owen Wilson. Man, this guy is hilarious. His movies are so funny. There's no way this guy could be unhappy. Look how funny he is. Look how happy he is in his movies. No, he's tried to commit suicide and he's failed. And he's tried to commit suicide and he's failed. Why? Because he's not happy. Because it was a lie. Pursuing the American dream, pursuing the money, the wealth, the success, the possessions, it didn't satisfy. It didn't satisfy him. You see, you guys right now are being told in school and in culture and society and everyone around you that here's what you need to do. You need to find a good job, make a lot of money, have a lot of stuff, and then you'll be happy. They're telling you, you need to build your kingdom. You need to live for you. You need to build the biggest kingdom that you can. Have a lot of stuff. Build your kingdom. But here's the sad truth. 20 to 30 years after you die, your legacy is going to be gone. No one's going to remember your name. The car that you had that you loved so much is going to be traded in. The house that you worked so hard to get is going to be passed down to your kids, and they're probably going to sell it. All the clothes that you wore and that you loved are going to be donated to Goodwill. The phone that you just thought you had to have, it's probably going to be thrown away because it's going to be outdated. See, we're going to spend our entire lives working to build a kingdom that's not eternal, that's not going to last. And Solomon saw this, and he hated it. He says, "I hated my toil. I hate this. I hate this." And yet we see generation after generation after generation falling into the same cycle. Falling into the same cycle. But what if we could break that cycle? What if we didn't have to work this life and feel as if there was no meaning? Right? Because everything we just talked about probably feels a little weighty, right? Well, what's the point? What am I even going to work for? What's the point of living if there's no meaning in anything? Well, you see, we can break that cycle. We can find meaning in this life and in our work. But it's going to have to take us realizing our selfishness and realizing that we aren't here to build our kingdom and that we're going to have to quit trying to build our kingdom and quit trying to acquire these possessions and instead work for something that matters. Work for something that's eternal. Work for something that's going to have a lasting impact. Instead of building your small little kingdom that's going to fall, that's not eternal, what if you worked and built the kingdom of God? The kingdom that's going to last. The kingdom that's eternal. The kingdom that is to come. Does that sound better to anyone? I know it does for me. Wait a second, I can work for something that's going to matter? I can work for something that's going to be eternal? I can leave a legacy? I can have an impact? Absolutely. But you're not going to do it living for self and building your kingdom. You can find it in working and building the kingdom of God. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Paul's saying, listen, do you want to work for something that matters? Do you want to work for something that's going to have meaning? You want to work for something that's eternal? Work for the Lord. Work for the Lord because it will matter, because it will last. How about instead of living a life for you, living a life to build your kingdom, you broke that cycle and you lived a life building the kingdom of God. Because I think, honestly, if we were to be honest with ourselves, deep down inside of us, there is a strong desire to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Any UK basketball fans in here? Okay. I strongly dislike UK basketball, okay? I know. For this reason right here. For this reason right here. And I think, and I don't necessarily think it's the basketball team, it's the fans, okay? You guys are annoying. Just for that right there, you just clapped when I said I don't like UK basketball, okay? But what I will say about UK basketball fans is you all are dedicated to your team. When they win, you guys are cheering. When they lose, I mean, you would think someone just killed your dog, okay? You guys are really, really mad, all right? You guys are, in the off season, you're keeping up with the recruiting class, you're checking on the coaches, you're tweeting at the team, like, I mean, you guys feel as if you are part of that organization. Why? Because we have this desire to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Because if y'all could be honest, whether they win or lose, it's not going to have an impact on your life. Whether they get the top point guard in the country, it's not going to have an impact on your life. Whether Coach Cal up and moves back to Memphis, it's not going to have an impact on your life, really. It's not. Yet you guys love them, and you guys cheer them on, and you guys follow them. You are dedicated because there is this desire in each of us to be a part of something much greater than ourselves. And this is what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians. Hey, you can be. That desire, it can be found in the kingdom. It can be found working for the Lord. If you want to be a part of something bigger than yourselves, be a part of what God is doing. Be a part of helping work and build the kingdom of God. I think about Scrooge from the Christmas Carol. Y'all remember Scrooge? Grumpy old man, hated everyone, but he had a lot of money, right? He had a huge house. He would spend his days at work counting his money. You know, what a culture would look at him and say, man, this guy's going to be happy, right? He has a lot of money, big house, great business. He should be happy. But what we see is he was miserable, absolutely miserable. But what's interesting is after the spirits, I don't know what it was, came and intervened, he realized there could be satisfaction apart from him. And I remember he began to give back to the poor, and he began to give his money away, and he began to help people out. And what do we see with Scrooge? He began to skip down the streets. He was so excited. People probably thought, man, this guy's on drugs. Like, he's doing something. Like, what is wrong with him? But what was going on is he found the joy that comes along with being a part of something bigger than yourself. Not being selfish, not building your kingdom, but having a hand in building the kingdom of God. Having a hand in being a part of something bigger than yourself. And Paul's telling us, listen, we don't have to waste this life chasing these endless pursuits, pursuing work to the fullest, thinking it's going to satisfy, because it's not. We're going to be like Solomon. We're going to reach the end, and we're going to say vanity. We're going to say we're empty. But he's saying, you know what? You can work for the Lord. You can serve the Lord. You can serve his people. You can glorify him in what you're doing, whether it's baseball, whether it's cheerleading, whether it's a part-time job, whether it's at your house. You can work for the Lord, and you can know that that work will matter. That work is eternal. That work is going to have a lasting impact. As we begin to close, thinking about having a lasting impact, I thought about last night, actually. I was thinking about this, and I went back to Matthew 4. If you know about Matthew 4, in Matthew 4, Jesus is beginning his ministry, and he calls his first disciples. And he's walking by this lake. He sees two guys out in the boat. And he yells at them, follow me. And in that moment, these two men in that boat have the choice of either one, staying in the boat, continuing to work, continuing to do what they've known, and go on about their business. Or they can follow him. And we know those two men to be Peter and Andrew, right? And what does it say in the scriptures? Peter and Andrew immediately dropped their nets and they followed him. But I had this thought last night. What if they would not have dropped their nets? Think about it. What if they would have stayed on that boat? How would their life have been different? They probably would have continued fishing. They might have built up a great fishing company, probably bought a few more boats. They probably would have had some kids. They would have died, and they would have given their business to their kids. Might have lived a pretty good life, but no one would remember their name. No one would know who they are. Ultimately, their work really didn't matter. But what do we see? They dropped their nets. They followed Jesus. And we see Peter, man, one of the founders of the early church. He preached the message at Pentecost, and we see 3,000 people give their life to Christ. What if he would have stayed in the boat? What if he would not have dropped his nets? He would have never had a chance to be a part of something far greater than himself. He would have never had a chance to work and build the kingdom of God. He would have missed out. He would have missed out on having an impact. So what am I saying? That you need to drop everything, quit working, be a missionary, be a pastor? No. You can build the kingdom of God right where you're at. Your sports team, band, part-time job, at home. You can work for the Lord and build God's kingdom right where you're at. But here's my challenge to you. As we close, here's my challenge. You have a choice. And here's the choice. It's simple. You can spend this life building your kingdom. Very simple. You can spend this life building your kingdom, acquiring a lot of stuff, attempting to pursue happiness. And I can promise you, you're going to waste your life and you're going to look back and you're going to say, this was meaningless. Or, you can choose to build and work for the kingdom of God because you know that work will be eternal. That work will last. Because ultimately, that work is what's going to matter. I'm going to ask Jordan to come back up and play really quick. Kind of threw on the spot. But I want us to really think about this tonight. What kingdom are you building? What kingdom are you investing your life for? Are you doing everything you can to be successful, to be popular, to be wealthy, to have a cool car, to have the newest phone, to have the best clothes? Are you doing everything in your power to build your little kingdom? Only to watch it fall? Or are you willing to be like Peter and Andrew, to drop your nets and to have a part of being something far greater than yourself, being a part of working and building the kingdom of God? And then you can have a lasting impact. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for this evening. God, I pray that you would just truly open up our hearts. God, that you would just reveal our selfishness, reveal our need for our kingdom, reveal how much we desire to be the king of our little kingdom. Yet we can't see right in front of our face that, Father, it's not going to last. It's not going to make us happy. But, Father, I pray these students take steps of faith, and they would not conform to the ways of this world, but Father, they would make the choice to pursue you and to spend their lives devoted and working for your kingdom, because Father, we can trust that it is eternal, that it will last. Father, most of all, we just want to give you thanks for your Son, the reason that we can be a part of your kingdom, the reason that we can have a hand in building your kingdom is because, Father, we have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Father, for that we're thankful. And I just pray all of this in his name. Amen.